Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're feeling a bit under the weather or taking care of someone who is, the trip to the pharmacy is a bit like a medicinal ghost town. Shelves can be pretty barren, which means the demand is high. But this year is more than COVID. Flu cases have been rising as well. According to the state's weekly report, the numbers are higher when compared to the same time in previous years, coupled with an early start to RSV, which can cause serious illness in infants. We've invited the California Department of Public Health to get a better understanding of a trifecta of respiratory bugs circulating around. Dr. Tomas Aragon is the state public health officer and joins us now. Good morning, Dr. Aragon.
Good morning, Vicky.
So this is a time of year a lot of people are traveling and gathering, getting together. What do you want us to keep in mind this holiday season?
Well, you know, this is a time of year that we know that there's always a lot of infection. We always have, you know, our epidemic of influenza and other respiratory viruses. Well, this year is really the first winter that we have that we don't have really any restrictions. Last winter we had Omicron, and so there were some restrictions to decrease viral transmission of Omicron. And in the process, it continued to decrease the transmission of other viruses like influenza and RSV. So we've had sort of a vacation from some of these other viruses because we've been taking care of Omicron. But now with everything open, and it is important for people to get together and see family and loved ones. So we are seeing more transmission of viruses. So it's that time of year where we want people to take extra precautions.
When it comes to, you know, RSV, COVID cases and flu cases, what is the statewide look right now?
So as you mentioned in your opening, RSV, which affects really primarily the youngest kids because their airways are so small. Everyone gets exposed to RSV. Most people get exposed really early in their life course. But because we did not have a lot of RSV transmission, we have more susceptible kids. And the youngest ones are the ones really that get in trouble because their airways are smaller. And so we did see an early start to RSV season. That's already peaked. And so we're keeping our fingers crossed that it doesn't go back up. Usually it starts later. And then what we're seeing right now is influenza is going up and COVID is going up. And so those are really climbing. The healthcare systems are stressed. They're seeing a lot of patients.
So given the fact that we've had a little bit of a vacation that is impacting our immunity to these seasonal viruses that we're typically used to, how have the past two winters during a pandemic compounded the challenges that are currently facing hospitals?
So we have learned a tremendous amount of how to manage these hospital surges. The hospitals have really figured out how to manage their systems, how to increase space for patient care, and that's what's happening now. The difference this winter is that in the past, when surges, which were really COVID surges, it was primarily the adult population that was impacted. Now it's the adult and the pediatric population that's being impacted. So now we have the children's hospitals and the pediatricians that didn't have all that experience in the earlier surges, really increasing their spaces. And so they're going through this process of learning how to manage seeing a lot of patients. And that's what they're focusing on. They're focusing on making sure that they have the staff, that they have the space, they have the supplies, and they rearrange their schedules and workflows so they can take care of the surge of patients. Mm.
What is COVID testing like this day? Because many of us rely on home tests. So how does the state tracking COVID now?
So there's really the most reliable indicator right now is test positivity and hospitalizations. So test positivity gives you an idea of what fraction of people out there that are developing symptoms or have concern about infection, what proportion of them are testing positive. So right now we're just over 11.7%. And so that really is a high number. So test positivity and hospitalizations. Hospitalizations is a little tricky because it includes people who are being hospitalized for COVID, as well as people who have other symptoms or being hospitalized and happen to be infected with COVID. And then the last thing I want to point out, because people don't realize this, it's not just a percentage of people with COVID. People, because of delayed care, the hospitals are full. So anything tips them over into being very busy. So right now, most of the hospitals in California on average are 20% above their normal census. So they are very, very busy.
In response, some local public health officials and even some business owners are either returning to requiring or recommending wearing masks. Is the California Department of Public Health discussing whether to have a statewide mask recommendation or mandate?
So we do have a framework based on the CDC community levels that you can find online that has recommendations for what people should do as the community levels change. At the lowest community levels, we tell people manage your personal risk. If you're at risk and you're in an environment that you're concerned, please wear a mask. As you go up to the median level, we start recommending folks to go ahead and start masking up in higher risk settings, especially public indoor settings where there's poor ventilation. And then the highest, we really re-emphasize that stronger. And then we do require at that point when it gets to that level, that shelters, for example, homeless shelters that they use indoor masks. But we're not having a general requirement. It's really about educating and empowering people so that they really understand what it takes to protect themselves and their loved ones.
When it comes to vaccinations, you know, especially not only with the new bivalent COVID booster, but also flu shots, why do you think vaccination rates are relatively low? I know with the new booster, it's about 20% as of this morning have received that new booster. What does that tell you?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. First of all, I want to start off by the fact that in California, we have been able to have high vaccination rates with a primary series. So we have close to 90% in those ages of 65 got their primary series. And then when you look at those that got at least one booster, that's 80%. So I want to just start off by California, compared to most states, is in a better situation because the older population did get at least a booster. Everybody should get at least three exposures to a vaccine. So that's your baseline. Now, the challenge that happens is that immunity wanes, whether you got infected or whether you got a vaccine. It wanes over time and risk has increased because of this time of year. And the virus has changed. It's figured out how to still infect people. And so because of that, the latest vaccine, which is the bivalent vaccine, incorporates components of the original virus and the variant that was commonly the B4 and B5 that was circulating. We now have subvariants. That's going to give you the best protection. So if it's time to get boosted, the only vaccine that's available is the bivalent, and that's going to give you a higher boost. It is going up. We definitely want to see more people get vaccinated. And so, yes, absolutely. If you're eligible, if it's been at least 2 months since you had your last booster, yeah, especially at this time of year, please get vaccinated.
Because in addition to having, you know, roughly 20% as of this morning receiving that new booster, you know, I think overall in many places we're seeing less and less masking. So that really just gets me to a fatigue of these kind of protections and public health recommendations. How do you talk to people about COVID fatigue? And now it's not only COVID fatigue because we have, you know, our other seasonal respiratory viruses circulating around as well.
Yeah, it's difficult. There's sort of I like to focus really on the positive, that you know, we are in a better place. We know so much more now about the virus, about vaccines, how it's transmitted because it's aerosolized, and so our biggest focus is focusing on the most vulnerable, which is really people 50 and older. They're really the most vulnerable. And also then providing education so people begin to learn, oh, what does it really take to manage my risk? You know, when you have a requirement, you just have to follow the rules. It becomes a little simple. You don't have to know whether it's aerosolized. You don't have to know that N95s are better than surgical masks. But we feel the longer term approach is really to educate, empower. We do want people to spend time with their loved ones this season. And we have five quick tips, which is please get vaccinated, flu and COVID, st- stay home if you're sick, test. If you test positive, make sure you have a plan on how you're going to get treatment, especially Paxlovid. Wear a mask. Masking is an opportunity to really remind people that it's aerosolized. Fit and filtration is important. Ventilation, doing things outdoors, washing your hands, and of course, covering a cough or sneeze. And the best way to do that is to wear a mask.
Yeah. When it comes to testing for COVID, the at-home test, if the packaging says the tests have expired, should you just toss out the tests? Can you trust the results?
You know, that's a really good question. Sometimes the manufacturers have extended the expiration date, and we saw that happen several times. In general, you really should try to use tests that are not expired. If you use a test that you have, and because oftentimes people don't even look at the expiration date, if you look at the test, if you have symptoms and it turns positive, you're positive. So you focus on that. And if you then notice, oh, that expired a week ago, you're positive. Yeah. So you have to sort of put it all together and use common sense.
Yeah. Given that we're just really at the start of flu season, and the weekly report from last week had a 22.6 flu test positivity rate across the state, what is your concern level that we could see, you know, a peak season back in like 2017 and 2018, where there was really a spike in influenza that year? What is the concern level that this is just going to continue on an upward trajectory?
Yeah. So the concern is all of these viruses coming together, especially right now with adults, which is influenza and COVID together increasing the census. As I mentioned earlier, the hospitals are already packed. They're already over capacity. So when you have more patients coming in with any respiratory viruses, it means that there's less services available for people that have other conditions that have nothing to do with respiratory viruses. So it puts a strain on the system. And so that's why it's important for folks to think about, okay, well, how can I prevent myself from being hospitalized? Well, there's two major things that you can do is to try to prevent infection, wearing a mask, getting vaccinated. If you do turn positive, get treatment. So those are really the key areas where we want people to think about. Because we know, for example, if you test positive and you develop symptoms, you're over 50, the biggest predictor of having a poor outcome is being over the age of 50. If you start medication, you dramatically reduce the risk of being hospitalized. Things like a treatment for COVID right now are being underutilized. There's plenty of medication. So we're reminding people is if you're above 50, you should absolutely have a plan. Have a plan with your doctor. Plan ahead of time so your doctor has it in the note. If my patient turns positive, I'm not available, yes, please make sure they get on their medication. So it's the combination of all those two, vaccinations, masking, ventilation, as well as testing and getting treated.
Dr. Aragon, thank you so much for the time.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Good luck to you as well. Dr. Tomas Aragon is the state public health officer and director of the California Department of Public Health. Up next, Sacramento's food scene just got another boost. The chef behind Localis joins us about receiving a Michelin star. And Benji Eagle with a SACB explains how our dining scene has changed and grown in recent years. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.